Thank you, Alex. Very beautiful. And thank you, choir, for singing beautifully this morning. Second time already. God is good.
All the time.
Resurrection confidence. It comes from Mary Magdalene. I have seen the Lord. This is what the gospel says. I have seen the Lord. Now, according to the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the backbone of Christianity. It is the backbone of our faith. It is really must. The Christian faith is hopeful. It is optimistic. It is very positive thing, because Christ Jesus did not, his body didn't remain in a grave, but he rose again. 3 days after his death, he rose again. The fact that Jesus died for your sins, my sins, for our sins, is only good news if he rose from the dead. It would be only a beautiful story if we are reading all the teachings that he did. But if he didn't die on the cross and if he didn't rose from the dead, there was no gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. There is no good news whatsoever. There is no gospel and there is no salvation. As a matter of fact, all the ancient creeds that church has, confessions and creeds of the Christian faith, make a point to emphasize the resurrection. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose again. The Apostles' Creed says, the third day he rose again from the dead. And then the Nicene Creed says the exact the same thing, and the third day he rose again. He rose again. I hate to spread bad news, but your body will die one day. You are going to die, am I right? We're all going to die. There's going to be your funeral at one point. But your soul lives forever. Your soul is eternal. By the way, that is true for Christians and non-Christians alike. Sometimes there's misunderstanding. Every human is eternal. If you were born, you were born to be eternal. C.S. Lewis, many of you know his writings. He's a famous writer and Christian thinker, now with the Lord already. He's from England. He put it this way. I think only C.S. Lewis could put it in his book called The Weight of Glory. He wrote, there are not ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a nut. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horror or everlasting splendor, these are your choices. C.S. Lewis. Every person will live forever. But the most important question is where? Where are we going to live forever? Where are we going to be forever? Where you'll spend your eternity? Where will you spend eternity? That's a big question. And the Easter morning answer to that question, the resurrection of Jesus, proves that life doesn't end at death. Actually, there are three things I would like to discuss a little bit and briefly about this gospel reading that is before us. First, the reality of resurrection, of the resurrection, verses 1 through 10. Namely, there are all kinds of theories. You have read about it, you have heard about it, through which people try to water it down what the Bible says about the resurrection. They talk about in the name of science or intelligence or deeper thinking called philosophy. Great thing, by the way. theology, and they are trying to water it down whether there was such a thing than resurrection of Jesus Christ. People want to find ways to deny the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if he rose from the dead, then it validates everything he ever said and he did. You can water it down, it is reality. In our gospel reading, John and Peter run to the tomb when Mary told them that Jesus' body had been taken. And of course, John wants us to know, as every believer know, every reader know, and remember that he was the one who ran faster than Peter. I think that's a very important addition to the gospel. These guys were competing. Who would run faster to the tomb of Jesus? Remember, only a few hours before Jesus' resurrection, these guys were talking about who is going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. And the one who is the greatest was right in the middle of them. So you and I, we have hope, am I right? We have hope. Jesus knows who people are. He sure knows, and he still loves us. But Peter was the bolder of the two. So while John waited outside the tomb, Peter marched right into the tomb. But John's description of the inside of the tomb is so puzzling, should I say. We are told he saw the face cloth. It was neatly folded up. And John really wanted to tell us the fact that the tomb was left decently and in order. There were clothes that Jesus was wearing, that cloth that was put on him. The body of Jesus is not there anymore, but the clothes are. So the tomb was empty. So this morning, on Easter morning, we have two witnesses. The cross is empty and the tomb is empty. Somebody who was on the cross is not there anymore, nor is he in the tomb. Additionally, John, the gospel writer, emphasized the point that no one really was expecting the resurrection, which is, of course, why in verses 8 to 9, even Jesus has taught disciples many times about what he's going to do, what is going to happen. He's going to die, but he's going to rise up. He's going to go to Heavenly Father. Of course, they didn't understand it. It was too difficult to understand. In verses 8 to 9 in this gospel that is before us, John says, this was actually his personal testimony, he says about himself, he saw and he believed. He saw the empty tomb. He saw the burial cloth was folded up nicely, and he believed resurrection has taken place. He continues in verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Yes, true. And then he also writes in verse 10, then the disciples went back to their homes. They went back to their homes. And if I was a gospel writer, that I am not, I would like to add on, as I was John, to be continued. They went home. They were confused. They were afraid. They didn't have answer what in the world was going on. The resurrection is not a myth, not metaphor. It is not something that didn't literally happen, but indeed, it was quite the contrary. It literally happened. It had to happen. It had to happen. And it is glorious, wonderful, and joyful thing this morning and news to us. We have hope. We have salvation. We have way to our Heavenly Father because Jesus rose from the dead. Secondly, there's joy of the resurrection, verses 11 through 16. When I was working and writing this homily, I can't help but I start thinking about Psalm 30. Psalm 30. It is one so-called messiah psalms. Excuse me. And when I was reading that Psalm 30, I started reading the verse 5. It says, and I was thinking about Jesus meeting Mary at the tomb. Here's what songwriter says. Way before this took place, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with them in the morning. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Comes with the morning. While Mary was sitting and crying at Jesus' tomb, she noticed there were two angels. One sitting at the head of Jesus' body, where Jesus' body had been, and the other one sitting at the foot of the place where Jesus was laying after his crucifixion. And these angels spoke to Mary, and they said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? What are you crying for?" Different translations say in different way. Mary didn't respond much. But she did, because she believed that someone has taken Jesus' body. So she was very desperate. She had come to the last service for Jesus' body. Then John tells how Jesus appeared to Mary with the same questions. By mistakenly, Mary believed that he was a gardener and asked whether the gardener knew where they had put Jesus' body. And Jesus asked the same, "What woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying?" Jesus means, Mary, there is nothing to cry about. But Mary initially didn't recognize Jesus until Jesus said one word. One word. And the word was Mary, as Jesus said, called her by her name. And Mary immediately responded to him, "Rabboni," which is Aramaic and means teacher. Mary recognized him as he spoke to her. So the sadness and pain of Jesus' death is reversed immediately. No longer is she sad. She's overjoyed. Jesus is dead. Jesus is alive. He's risen. So then comes the declaration of the resurrection, verses 17 to 18. We see that when Mary recognized Jesus, she wanted to hold to him, touch Jesus. But Jesus tells Mary not to cling to him because he hasn't yet ascended to the Father. He has to follow through his assignment. Jesus is going to ascend to the Father, but he will remain with them on earth for 40 days. Notice that Jesus gives Mary a very specific mission. And this is the culmination of this reading. Here's what Jesus says to Mary. "Go to my brothers," referring to disciples, "and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. So I'm going to finish what I started. I have told you that I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. And I got to do this to make sure that this is working word." He eventually ascended to the Father. But for now, he's going to be with them. But Jesus tells Mary to go and tell everyone that she has met the resurrected Lord Jesus. What an assignment. What an assignment. When I start thinking about Mary Magdalene in the light of Bible narrative, some of us might be thinking that why Mary Magdalene? Why not somebody else? Well, why not Mary Magdalene? But there are different approaches. And you may say, well, in God's holy providence, Jesus chose to have Mary Magdalene among other women and among anybody really else to be the first to report the resurrection of Christ. But this is what the gospel is all about. So here's the thing. Try to picture this, friends. So as Jesus asked her to do, Mary walked back to the house or the place where the disciples were. And she opened the door. Can you picture these 11 there? I don't think they were very excited bunch. They were under fear and confusion and sadness, all appalled. And when this Mary Magdalene, who know them so well and they knew Mary, remember Jesus cast 7 demons from her and set her free. So Mary opened the door, and I think the first words she said, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Can you picture the disciples saying, lady, what are you talking about? We saw the Lord yesterday. They nailed him to the cross and he died. We have seen him. What are you talking about? No. He has risen. I spoke to him. He spoke to me. I have seen the Lord. I have seen Jesus. I mean it. He's alive. Jesus lives. He rose again. He rose from the grave. He's not dead. He lives. Hallelujah. Wonderful news. And I think Jesus chose the best possible person to deliver that message. If it had been a preacher, they may have made it too long. Sermon. You know what I'm talking about? Too long-winded. You see, remember when we learned to know Jesus and all these years we've been serving and following him, blah, 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 blah. Now Mary went right on the nuts and she said, I have seen the Lord. Well, that's the most important news to have. But that's most important news to you too, for you too. Have you seen the Lord? Have you experienced Jesus in your heart? Have you received him into your heart? Is he your personal Savior? That is what matters, friends, Easter morning. That we have fresh testimony in our heart. We have seen, we have experienced Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. So something to take home today. Here's the thing. Without the resurrection, how do we know that we are reconciled to God without resurrection? We don't. The answer is yet, no. Without the resurrection, how do we know there is forgiveness of sins? We don't have forgiveness of sins without resurrection of Jesus Christ. But since Jesus rose from the dead, we have the blessed assurance of reconciliation and forgiveness. And that is more than feeling, that is states of life. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? 2 hands raised up. We know we are heaven bound already because of the resurrection. We know we are heaven bound. We have Holy Spirit within our heart to testify with our spirit that we are children of God. Because Jesus rose again, we can rise again in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.